Welcome to Rework, a podcast by 37 Signals about the better way to work and run your business. I'm your host, Kimberly Rhodes. At the beginning of October, 60 37 Signals employees met up in Amsterdam for the first company-wide meetup outside the U.S. I'm joined by 37 Signals co-founders Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen to talk all about this recent meetup and the importance of in-person gatherings for remote companies. Hey guys, I know you've written a bit about meetups in your book, Remote, but tell us a little bit about why we do meetups as a company.
You know, we've done them for a long time, and I don't think we realized just how valuable they were until we didn't do them during COVID. Basically, we do these, tend to do them twice a year for about a week at a time, and it's primarily a social event. So we spend some time working together. First day or two is kind of work stuff. But then we have events that we go to. We have shared small dinners, and mostly people just hang out with each other. And there's something incredibly valuable, obviously, about breathing the same air, eating the same meals, hanging out at the same table that we don't do the rest of the year because we're all remote. And it's I think, essential, actually. Absolutely essential to the business to be able to do these kinds of things. But we do them to bring people together. It's especially great for new employees to get to meet everybody. Some old timers, we all know each other already, you know, but like, you know, you want to meet new people. New people need to meet new people. New people need to meet old people. And there's no other way to do that, I think, than to do it in real life. And that's why we do these.
And I think this was the largest one that we've had to date. Is that a true statement?
Probably.
And I also think it probably had the most new employees, like employees who was their first meetup.
I think so. I think there was something like 13, 14, 15, maybe new people since the last meetup, which we had in, was it March, February? I don't remember when it was in Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this one was the first meetup outside the US. Tell us why we did that.
Part of it is that the company is now larger outside the US than it is inside the US by like a fraction. I think maybe like one or two people more outside the US than inside the US. And a lot of those people have come from Europe. It used to be that 37 Signals was almost predominantly in the US, almost exclusively in the US. And we had a few people in Canada. We had one or two people in Europe. And now we have a situation where we have a bunch of people in Europe. And not only has that changed a bit of the rhythm of the company in a day-to-day sense, I mean, obviously, I'm from Denmark, and I started working with Jason living in Denmark, and I've lived in Europe on and off over the years. And for many years, when I got up in the morning and sat in front of the computer, it was crickets. When I got on at 10 a.m. Spain time, for example, there were just no one there, right? Like, we were three people sitting there. Now the company is buzzing, because there's actually a bunch of developers and designers and people from all sorts of different groups in Europe. So it just felt like it was kind of the right time to recognize the fact that more than half the company is no longer in the US. And well, for the last one in Miami, everyone from Europe traveled over to Florida. And for this one, everyone in the US could travel to Amsterdam, which was something that felt perhaps more extravagant to do when the whole company was already in the US. I mean, there's additional expenses with international travel. But hey, we're going to have those expenses now anyway. It's not really a lot more expensive to fly someone from the US to Europe than the other way around. So that also just felt right, that it was right to, like, this is the kind of company we are now. We're of what, just over 80 people something now, and 60 of them came to Amsterdam. This feels like a thing we should do differently. I mean, for many years, the other factor, of course, was that we had the office. We had a 10-year lease in Chicago for an office that we used twice a year for the meetups. And it was very convenient. And I think it was great in many ways, but it was also maybe a little boring. I mean, especially for people who didn't call Chicago home. I mean, they'd seen Chicago, right? But for the fifth or the sixth time, you've kind of checked out Chicago. For a bunch of people, Amsterdam, that was the first time they were there, which is kind of cool too. We're doing this for social reasons anyway. Let's give people a bit of an experience and have some fun in a new novel location where we all have to find out, like, oh, what's a good restaurant here or whatever.
And I think we'll probably end up, you know, bouncing back and forth, right? So maybe Europe in the fall, the US or Canada. We have a number of people in Canada, maybe, you know, in the spring, something like that. And we'll figure it out as we go. But that seems like a pretty good rhythm, given the fact that we're close to 50-50.
Well, and David, you said it was some people's first time in Amsterdam. I know there were a lot of people in the US, not a lot, a few, who was their first time to travel outside the country, like got a passport to go on this trip. So I think when you say it feels extravagant, I think from an employee standpoint, it does. I know my second day of work is when I found out we were going to Amsterdam, literally day two. And I was poking around a base camp project and I was like, wait a minute, we're going to Amsterdam? So I think extravagant is how it feels.
Which is also what it should feel like because it's rare. We don't do this every week. We don't do it every month. We do it twice a year. And it is an extravagant expense in some regards. It is expensive, but that's only comparing to considering how expensive it is not to do it. And this is what you always have to consider. Oh, that machine is so expensive. Yeah, but how much is it going to cost not to have it? And this is a social cohesion machine. And as Jason said, we really got exposed to the cost of not having that during the pandemic. Everyone did. Everyone got exposed to what does it feel like to not see coworkers for months or in some cases even years because you just can't. And the results are not good, not good at all. Humans simply need these kind of live connections to stay strong and to stay connected. And therefore, that expense does not feel that extravagant in that picture, even though whenever we do them, I usually think up front, like, oh man, I can't believe we're spending so much money on it. And then at the end of it, I think, oh man, I cannot believe how great this was. Like, we had that last dinner, we're all together, and I'm like, this is, I mean, not quite literally, but this feels priceless in the moment. This feels like an expense you would not want to cut. Because you just know that the effects, the corrosiveness on the culture would be there. And what I find so interesting about that is that twice in years is enough. Like, I don't need to see all my coworkers every week or even every month, but it still feels like it has that human connection if I see them twice a year. And that in itself is just sort of a fascinating aspect of human behavior that, you know what, you can actually go longer than you think, but you can't go forever. You certainly can't go 2.5 years like we did during COVID without there being some consequences.
Well, it's funny because the last day I was like, oh, I'm so sad to leave people. And then I was like, well, I'll see you in 6 months. Like that goes by really fast if you think about it.
It does. It's here before you know it. But also, you know, to David's point, like scarcity is actually what makes it better. That 6 months is, you know, half a year, obviously. It's a fair amount of time. It's not forever away, but it's also not next week. And so then when this moment comes and you have another 5 days together, you really do value it in a way that you wouldn't if you did it 3 or 4 or 5 times a year. So it's scarcity is a big part of why it's valuable.
So tell me a little bit about the structure of the meetup. What is like for everybody? What is optional? Kind of walk us through that for people listening.
Yeah, so it's typically, well, it's Monday through Friday, although historically people have been sort of leaving Thursday-ish, you know, people have families, it's hard, you know, to be away from kids and your spouse and the whole thing. So that's hard, but we have 5 days typically. Monday is sort of, Monday morning is like an all hands. So David and I and Elaine will give a talk, talking about the state of the business, some things that are on our mind, some things we're planning on doing, some stuff that everybody should know about, basically. And then there's some Q&A. Of which we didn't do enough this time, but we should do more next time. I don't know whatever happened there. We just kind of didn't do enough Q&A apparently. But so we do some Q&A, we break for lunch, and then we had a team building thing in the afternoon. So it's a whole company thing. So Monday is basically a required day for everybody. And then there's these small dinners people can sign up for to join, small group dinners between, I think, 4 and 6 people or something. And there's a sign up sheet for that and you can go to dinner with some friends. The next day, there's typically something in the morning, then there's a lunch, and then the afternoon is free. And so it begins to fade away from having full days to like half days. Wednesday, there's something in the morning, afternoons are free, people go on activities and stuff. But there's always a breakfast, there's always a lunch, and then there's one company dinner, sort of the farewell dinner. Then there's these group meals and group activities along the way. And Andrea does an incredible job of organizing everything and coming up with things for people to do. You can also just wander and have no agenda. It's kind of up to you. But really the first 2 days are scheduled and the rest are sort of flimsy in a sense, but intentionally so.
I think part of the aspect I really like about it too is that it's an occasion to have some of the bigger discussions in a group together. For example, this We're Leaving the Cloud post came directly out of the meeting I had with the whole ops team. Aaron was there and the rest of the up team was there. And we talked about like, hey, what does it look like? Where are we right now? We'd already been quite far into the exploration of this process, but it really crystallized things together. Like, this is where we're going. We're going off the cloud. And we had a number of these kinds of discussions where like the weight and the ceremony of it kind of gives you permission to make bigger leaps, bigger determinations because you are in person together. And I think we typically use that pretty well, that sometimes like a few weeks before the meetup, we'll be like, do you know what? Let's save that for the meetup. Let's just have that discussion in person together. And I think, as Jason says, a lot of that comes from the scarcity of it. If we did this every month, like, no, it wouldn't be a special moment for you to take stock and really have some deep discussions that would lead to big consequential decisions. But because it only happens once every 6 months, we can do that. Now, the other thing I should say is we also do these sort of just smaller events. Like we go go-karting. And that was a blast in Amsterdam as well. It was the first time I ever saw a go-kart course indoor with elevation. It had hills and things down and like, yeah, good times.
Did you win?
Of course. But that is a little bit like cheating because I kind of do that a lot.
One of my favorite parts of the meetup, honestly, are the small group dinners because you get to really talk to people in a smaller group setting where it's, you know, relaxed and no pressure. And sometimes in a big group, you know, meeting 60 people all at the same time is a little overwhelming. But when you're talking to six at dinner, it's just a different feel. That's my favorite part. I'm curious what some of your favorite parts of the meetup have been.
I like we do this thing on this time. I think we did it on Thursday, this peer appreciation event, which I think it's when people come up and they say something about someone they work with, something that either has gone unrecognized or something everybody knows, but no one has said, or they just, you know, want to draw attention to somebody's great work and or great attention or great friendship or great mentoring or whatever it might be. And it's a really, really special and emotional moment. I think that's really, to me, kind of, and I like that we sort of do it near the end. It's a really nice wrap up. So that's the thing I tend to look forward to the most in these meetups. And then just the general hanging around and spontaneity and bumping into people and choosing to do something with some people or having a conversation that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So that one planned thing and then just the spontaneity of the rest of it is what I like the most.
I'd say my favorite thing is I get a chance to talk to a bunch of people, often through the small dinners, sometimes through the activities that we do, that I don't work closely with on a day-to-day basis, that perhaps aren't part of the product group or someone else that I'm giving or just working directly with all the time because they might have a different manager or they might be in a different team or something else like that. The meetup is a really good opportunity for that cross-mixing. And I've heard that from quite a few people too, that, hey, I'm really hanging out with the team that I'm on a day-to-day basis, but at the meetups, I get to talk to people from all over the company in a way that you just wouldn't otherwise. You could. I mean, it's not like you couldn't. You could ping anyone inside of basically like, hey, what's going on? But here's an opportunity and an excuse almost to do it. And it's really great.
Yeah. I know for me, it made me realize just how global a company we are. Like going to a small group dinner and I'm sitting next to someone from the Czech Republic and Singapore and Rolando's who's in Miami, but he's Venezuelan, and someone from Italy. And, you know, I'm the sole American going, this is very cool to be in a company that is so like global and has such a diverse group of people.
It is cool to see. And yeah, you're introduced. It's fun. Like some people bring, you know, different things from their home country and people trade. It's a really fun event, actually. It's a really nice thing to be exposed to other cultures and how people, you know, the things people value. And it's great. It's really wonderful.
Okay. So what's coming up next? Do we know? I've heard some rumors about the next meetup. I don't know what is true.
There's some rumors.
I haven't heard the rumors. I want to hear the rumors.
Do you want to hear the rumors I've heard?
Sure.
Okay. The rumors I've heard are Dallas, which is where I am.
Did you start that rumor?
No, I didn't actually. I did not at all. But I've heard like, hey, Kimberly, if we do it in Dallas, I'm sure you know some places. Austin, I've heard, and Vegas.
Yeah, so like I kind of want to subject the Europeans to Las Vegas. That's sort of my...
Is this hazing?
It's a little bit like hazing. I think it'd be like a fun American experience for a lot of them. It's like everything that's right and everything that's wrong with the country all in one place. But the other thing that's interesting about Vegas is there's a lot to do outside. You want to kind of find a place that's with some diversity of options. There's beautiful desert. The Grand Canyon's not far away. It's an international city. So one of the things that's tricky for us is we have to figure out a way to get people to these places now that we have people in 16, 17 different countries. So you got to find like big airports and not make it a real problem to get to places. So I think that'd be fun. I think Montreal would be another really wonderful city to visit in North America and, you know, in Canada in that case. I've never been to Dallas. Dallas has big airports. I think as long as we have big airports, international city, international destination, it becomes a lot easier. I mean, there's some places that would be wonderful to go to that are just too hard for everyone to have to connect three times or get off a plane and drive 4 hours. So,
right. Before we wrap up, is there anything that we've learned from previous meetups that we either did in Amsterdam differently or that we'll do differently going forward? I know you said something about more Q&A.
Yeah, we should do a bit more Q&A. We typically have done that. I'm not sure like what happened this time, but apparently we didn't do enough. That's some of the feedback we heard. I think the big thing is that Miami was too structured. So we had too many things going on in Miami, and we dialed that way back in Amsterdam, and I think it was much better because of that. Not that the things we did in Miami weren't worth doing, but they definitely aren't worth doing every meetup. And having just empty space with nothing to do is really valuable. Especially when people are traveling from far away. And, you know, in the case of Americans, normally it's Europeans traveling. Like, people just seem to kind of acclimate and they want to bump into people and have some time. I remember in Miami, I didn't really get a chance to really even meet with the design team hardly at all, just because everything was scheduled. So in this meetup, we got to meet up some more and hang out some more. And I think it was really valuable. So that's I think, something we learned that we maybe had forgotten, which is empty space is good space. Blank space is good. You don't need to fill up schedules.
And then I'm going to ask one more question before we wrap up. For people who are listening who maybe are in a remote work situation, business owners who are like, I don't do this, but I need to do this. Like, do you have any advice for just getting started? Obviously, you're not going to all of a sudden fly your entire company to Amsterdam when you're starting out. But what can you do when you're starting out? Any advice on that?
We started very small. I mean, when we got going with doing these meetups, I think we were only like 7 people or something. And at that time, even a bunch of them were in Chicago. And I think we just drove to Wisconsin or something. Like, it does not have to be extravagant. It does not have to be a big production. It doesn't have to be all the bells and whistles we have now after doing this for 15 years. The important thing is really the social engagement. So getting together in whatever way, shape, or form is easiest. And then if it's too hard because you're too spread out, also think about doing multiple smaller ones. For a while, and maybe even still, we've had sort of smaller meetups where maybe 7 or 8 people would get together in some form. Just do something. I think if you are in a remote setup now and you haven't done something that's in person, you're missing out. You really are.
Yeah. Well, I think that is it for us today. Thanks, guys, for joining us on the podcast. Rework is a production of 37 Signals. You can find show notes and transcripts on our website at rework.fm. You can also follow us on Twitter at Rework Podcast.